This is the fourth chapter of part 6 prose forms. Name of the chapter: the biography. The term biography is made up from Greek words bio and graphy, meaning life and writing respectively. It means life writing. Numerous attempts have been made to define biography. John Dryden, who first used this term, defines it as the history of particular men's lives. The Oxford Dictionary defines it as the history of the lives of individual man as a branch of literature. Harold Nicholson points out that the biography is a truthful record of an individual presented as a work of art. Edmund Gosse terms biography the faithful portrait of a soul in its adventures through life. Keeping all these definitions in view, it can be gathered that there are three important elements: history, individual, and literature, which constitute biography. The element of history means that the biography always presents a truthful record as we come to know through history. The elements of individual emphasizes that this truthful record must deal with an individual life. The element of literature claims that this truthful account of the life of a person should be presented in an artistic way so that it should arrest the attention of the reader and give an aesthetic pleasure along with its historical, political, and inspirational value. Thus, the biography is a prose narrative which records a truthful account of an individual consciously and artistically. Here, one thing is to be noted, that the biography is quite different from history. It is an art rather than a branch of history. History deals with a nation, while the biography with a single man from his birth to death with other subsidiary characters. The biography is a source of perpetual joy because its subject matter is man and the analysis of his passions and motives. A man cannot resist his curiosity to know the accounts of life, the life of famous or notorious or interesting personalities, their habits, method of work, his ambitions, struggles, successes, failures. They all greatly gratify a sense of curiosity and helps for a fuller understanding of their writings too. It is a human tendency to cherish the memory of his near and dear and commemorate him through statues, inscriptions, monuments, but it is the biography that accommodates a relatively full account of the facts of man's life. In fact, to set forth his character, temperament, and milieu, as well as his experiences and activities. Almost any form of material is relevant to the biographer's purpose. Diaries and letters, his laundry bills, official archives, memoirs of contemporaries, the memories of living witnesses, personal knowledge, other books on the subject, photographs, and paintings. The biography is not only based on the truthful facts and careful research, but it is a creative art, a form in which the facts are designed artistically, coherently, and consciously with a dispassionate outlook. A good biography is always interesting, scientific, spontaneous, and immortal. It is free from personal prejudices, love, inclination, and views. The personality should neither be glorified or scandalized. The biographer must adopt a detached outlook, as a doctor does with his patients. Addison is right in his approach that no life should be written unless envy and friendship are laid to rest. The biographer has to point out both the virtues and merits as well as faults and failings of his hero. He has to study human personality as well as the psychic state by means of sympathy, sensitivity, and scholarship. He should treat the whole as at least a considerable part of man's career. Accuracy, introspection, and intuition account for the true biography. Irrelevant matters, trivial gossip, distortion, repetition, and circumlocution have no place in the composition of the biography. The biography writing is a very tough task. The biographer has to face numerous problems. For example, first he has to give a proper artistic shape of a huge mass of information. He is left in a state of dilemma as to which part is to be included and which to be excluded. Secondly, it becomes extremely difficult to plumb the depth of the mind of the personality because a man spends a considerable period of his life in thinking, feeling, and pondering, and in certain cases, he hides most of the experiences of life and eschews revealing the truth. Then the biographer can only make a conjecture and guess through the action, deeds, and words of his hero. Thirdly, the biographer is not always the contemporary of his subject. At that time, he has to exert a lot of pains to present an accurate, correct, lively, and faithful portrait of his hero. The origins of biography are no doubt to be found in the accounts of monarchs and heroes in Greek and Roman antiquity. In the Middle Ages, biography was written for the glorification of the lives of the Christian saints and martyrs. They were idealized, extolled, and presented with a tinge of holiness as models to the people to follow their lives. The medieval biography never presented human character as a type or an individual caught in his circumstances, an impulse and temperament. It was used as an ethical and spiritual corrective, and its aim was moralistic, didactic, and religious. Venerable Bede, Life of Saint Cuthbert in the 8th century, and Eadmer's Life of Anselm in the 12th century stand out from the typical hagiography of the era. During the Renaissance, biography underwent a distinct form, although an element of didacticism still continued. It concerned itself with a fuller humanistic or informational study of its subject. The humanism of the Renaissance provoked an interest in the individual above and beyond the framework of didacticism. Boccaccio produced a biography of Dante in which the great poet emerged as a person, not as a type. The worth reading biography in this period is William Roper's The Life of Sir Thomas More. In the Renaissance, the Elizabethans also produced some notable translations of classical biographers. In the 17th century, a growing interest was seen in writing character writers. Isaac Walton was, in fact, the first biographer in English literature who wrote a series of lives: John Donne, Sir Henry Wotton, Richard Hooker, George Herbert, and Robert Sanderson. These works are major contributions to the course of biography. Less important but notable are Bishop Burnet's Life and Death of John, Earl of Rochester, Spratt's Life of Coley, and Dryden's biography of Plutarch. English biography reached maturity in the 18th century. At that time, the democratic feeling forced biographers to think that any man's life was worth recording. Boswell's Life of Samuel Johnson remains the apogee of biography. It is purely literary and sets focus on the central figure in the whole book. Dr. Johnson was one of the most influential and accomplished of biographers. His Lives of the Poets reflected telling and refreshing criticisms. Before Johnson, biographies were loaded with praise and adulation, but he changed all this and presented a rounded and detailed portrait of person. The 19th century witnessed a massive production of biographies. Thomas More's Life of Byron, Robert Southey's Life of Nelson, Robert Gibbon's Life of Sir Walter Scott was issued in 7 volumes. Thomas Carlyle's Frederick the Great was published in 3 enormous installments. David Mason's Life of Milton occupied 7 volumes. But the Victorian biography was characterized more by its gentility and prudishness than by its complete revelation of personality. But a change was signaled by James Anthony Froude's Thomas Carlyle's History of the First 40 Years of His Life, in which thoroughness, frankness, and intimate knowledge of his subject were offered in place of the panegyrics of the Victorian biography. In the 20th century, a strong reaction against the hero worship of the Victorian biography is perceived. Freud's influence on the writing of biography proved to be most potent, as evidenced by such examples as Joseph Wood Crutch's Edgar Allan Poe and Richard Ellman's The Identity of Its. Lytton Strachey's brought about something of a revolution in the art of biography. Like Carlyle and Froude, he despised hero worship and prolixity. He did not hesitate to be selective. His method was to criticize irrelevantly. He wrote with elegance, ironic wit, and acute perception. Apart from Strachey, among English biographers, Harold Nicholson is generally regarded as one of the ablest. This chapter is now over.